Welcome to Vegas Golden Podcast, a new podcast in the suddenly burgeoning Las Vegas Sun podcast scene. Got a couple of shows from Brock Radke we sure hope you're listening to, along with all our other sports stuff. I'm Case Kiefer, assistant sports editor. You've probably heard my voice before if you listen to any of our other shows, Rebel Room, Prep Sports Now, or even the old Sun Sports Talk radio show that we posted on here. But more importantly, I am joined by the expert, the insider, Vegas Golden Knights primary writer, Justin Emberson, a new member of our team. So, Justin, we wanted to get to know you a little bit first on this podcast. And I know first and foremost, most important for this, you are a hockey guy through and through. Tell us about how you came into to that role.
Well, I'm just happy to be on the podcast network. I see you and Grimala recording this stuff all the time, so I'm just happy to be a part of it. hockey is... everybody kind of has a different story for how they got into hockey, right? For me, it was in college. I was at Arizona State covering the club hockey team, and, I was the last guy on the totem pole at the school newspaper, and they just were like, hey, go cover the club hockey team, and fell in love with the sport right away. I knew exactly that's what I wanted to do. Covered hockey there. Golden Knights came to town, followed them, and, got hired at the Sun, a couple of months ago now, and been enjoying covering the team, and now we get to talk about them.
Hockey not bad for the last guy on the totem pole.
No, not bad. I mean, it was a club team, and they moved me up at one point from the hockey team to the water polo team, and I'm like, I'll stick with hockey.
They're no longer a club team, though, right? They're like a power all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I leave. They go Division I. They're, they might be making a tournament run. My wife's already been upset at me. We're taking our honeymoon in July, and I told her that if ASU were to make a Frozen Four run, that fund might get dipped into a little bit. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, Italy scratched for, I don't know where the Frozen Four is, Buffalo?
Buffalo.
Some scenic location. Oh, well, I just totally guessed
that. No. It was Buffalo. Yeah, so instead of Italy, maybe I'll go to Buffalo. I'm sure she'd be thrilled with that.
So obviously you had a lot to do with their emergence to be a Frozen Four contender. We're going to give you a lot of credit for that. And I think we could also give you a lot of credit to what this podcast is actually about, as you probably could have gathered from the title. Since you've been around, the Golden Knights have been on a tear. I was around for every game at the beginning of the season where they kind of struggled. I think when you took over, they were still a little bit outside of the playoffs. Now they've been in the playoffs. Hunt, they're only a few points back in the Pacific Division. Have you been kind of surprised of what you've seen
this
team?
I watched them, obviously, even when I wasn't covering the team, and it was just like, okay, it was fun run last year, but the Magic's kind of gone. Lightning in a bottle's hard to catch twice, and then suddenly, they turned it around. Everything started working. Nate Schmidt came back, and there's just a different aura in the room. It's, players are playing well. Everybody's doing their part, and it's, they're really good. I mean, one of the better teams in the Western Conference, obviously.
I think I like that the first player that came up is Nate Schmidt. Yeah. Because I'm always the type of guy, unless it's like a goalie in hockey, and just about any sport other than, I guess, basketball is different. But during their early struggles, I was saying, Schmidt's going to improve this team, but you can't put too much into one guy. It still probably hasn't been enough to totally disprove that. But, I mean, you can't argue with the results they've gotten with him on the ice. I mean, how big of a part do you think he has been, and has it been about one guy kind of spurring this turnaround?
I mean, I don't necessarily think that the turnaround's because of one guy, but it's been huge. I mean, from an offensive standpoint, which is the easiest one to quantify, 29 games, he's already got 16 points. So he comes in and he's 4 goals, 12 assists. So, he's facilitating that, but it's also just kind of, he's this smiley guy in the room. He cheers everybody up. He's the entertaining guy. And, it's some of the older school hockey types will say that, it is that important, whereas some new era kind of, it's harder to quantify that. It's harder to, value what a guy in the clubhouse means. But it's pretty clear that since he's come back, they've been better. And, of course, it doesn't hurt to get a guy of his defensive prowess back on the blue line.
For sure. So Nate Schmidt, he's been a big difference. I like, I think now that's pretty well known. People know him as, like, the fun-loving guy, the guy that kind of brings the team together, but certainly that's been the case from when I've been around. I mean, he's always joking. He seems like, I guess for the lack of a better word, one of those glue guys. Who else, for kind of a different look at the team, who else has kind of stood out to you that, is a go-to for a quote or a guy that's always in a good mood? Who are those other kind of guys on the team?
You know what? I think Alex Tuck's emergence from kind of the rookie player, kind of getting his feet wet in the NHL last year to being an everyday kind of player. I mean, last year was his first full year in the NHL, and now he's you know, an experienced guy at all of 22 years old. But he's a guy that, you know, when you need a good quote, you go chat with him. He'll talk to you after they win, after they lose. And I'm not saying that other guys on the team won't, but he's a good player, and he's leading the team in points. So I think that kind of builds on a confidence and kind of a leadership role for him in a team that, you know, doesn't have an official quote-unquote captain. I mean, nobody wears the C on the jersey, but no, Alex Tuck's a guy that, like you said, I think is somebody that you can go to.
All right, Tuck, Schmidt, go-to guys. Speaking of, so that's just a little taste. We're going to talk about everything Golden Knights on this podcast. This is the first run-through, still ironing some things out, so I hope you'll join us throughout. We're going to try to come to you once a week, and make sure you subscribe on iTunes. We're in the process of getting it on right now, this first episode. Obviously, you're probably finding this on the website, but we're going to be on iTunes soon, and we'll kind of go through what the general structure of the show will be today with the first episode, of course. And I think we're going to kind of center this around each week a golden topic or a big topic, if you will. Don't hold me to the names. We're still coming up with those. But I think we're going to use that as kind of a jumping off point. And I kind of already hinted at what I think is the biggest talk around the team right now. The Golden Knights, third in the Pacific, 60 points. And they've really gotten there because they have been pretty outstanding since around the new year. I believe they had won 7 straight going into last Thursday. They've now lost 2 of 3, 3-2 at the Sharks on Thursday, and then last night lost 4-1 to the Jets. But both those games they played really well. I think it's still safe to say they're heading in the right direction. So 8-2 in the last 10. So I'll pause it to you, Justin. What do you make of this? You know, is this the team that everyone should expect going forward? Do you think this 8-2 run holds more weight than early in the year when they looked like, you know, a fringe playoff contender at best? Where do you kind of rank this?
Well, let's just say short answer, yes. I think that this is a good team, and I think that this is recent run is more what we can expect from them going forward. Long answer is, you know, they'd won 7 in a row, like you said, but even when they lost to San Jose, they outshot them 38-27. They needed to come back late in the third to beat Chicago in overtime on Saturday. Outshot them 34-23 last night against Winnipeg, 44-27. So they're still getting the shots on goal. They're controlling possession of the puck, which is obviously the most important thing. You have the puck, you shoot the puck. That's how you score. You keep the puck away from the other team. Over their last three games, 149 to 117 in Corsi 4. So that's that is shot attempts. So anything that, you know, hits the post, misses the net, is blocked. That's counted, and that's at a 56% clip, and that's only at 5-on-5. So that doesn't include their power play numbers. So not to get too, you know, inside baseball with it all, but basically they're controlling the puck, and 56% of the shot attempts at 5-on-5 are coming from the Golden Knights. That's really good. They were at 54.3% in their previous 46 games up to that point, and last year they were running at just under 51%. So again, to make a long story short, they're controlling the puck very well, and that's how you win games. I mean, if you can keep the puck going the opposite way, away from Marc-Andre Fleury, away from Malcolm Subban, away from the goalies, and that's how you're going to do it. So I think that they are playing well lately, and I think it's sustainable.
Yeah, certainly. They've been hot. Even last night watching the game, a lot of times the numbers you're talking about, like when you're covering in, they're right in front of you, and you know, like, okay, against the Sharks, it seemed like they were controlling most of the possessions. They were getting most of the at least high-quality shot attempts and still lost. But last night it felt like that, too, when I was just kind of watching while I was doing other things. And then you look at the numbers, and they do totally bear that out. I mean, the Golden Knights across the board had the better metrics and then the better production, but it looks like they just ran into a really good night from Laurent Brousseau, who it seemed like they were getting kind of a break by missing Connor Hellebuyck last night.
Yeah, but we saw that Hellebuyck wasn't in, and we're like, okay, Golden Knights playing a backup, and he made 43 saves.
I think even the line crashed. I think the Golden Knights went off like even money, which is pretty crazy in Winnipeg,
yeah. I mean, the Jets don't lose at home. It's kind of the same thing as the Golden Knights. You win at home, you defend. They're 18-6-2 at home this year, the Jets are. So it's hard to beat them. Hard to beat them in Winnipeg.
And I thought that was a lot like last Thursday. I thought they kind of ran into a hot goalie, too. I am not a Martin Jones fan. We keep doing this podcast. You'll probably hear me speak ill of him. I think he's one of the weaker goalies in the Pacific. But he was on point against the Golden Knights on Thursday. They did beat him twice, and one was John Merrill's first goal of the season, but I thought he made some outstanding saves. I kind of brought it up to a couple Golden Knights in the locker room, and they disagreed, but I mean, that's a team always wants to think they could do more, so I think they got kind of two uncharacteristic performance from Jones and Brousseau they went up against the two of the last three games.
I mean, you do say that about Jones, and I get what you're saying, but his last five outings now, well, five games in a row, he's allowed two goals or fewer. So, I mean, and Tampa Bay, the Kings, the Golden Knights, the Senators, and the Penguins. So, I mean, when you got the Lightning, the Knights, and the Penguins in there, I mean, man, he might be a little bit better than you're giving him credit.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's hot. That's five games. Five game sample in the long run. I mean, we see goalies get hot all the time. I think that's actually why, maybe this is why I rail against him so much. I feel like the reason why he's, I guess, regarded as an average or at least above average goalie is he's had a couple of very good playoff runs. I think his playoff numbers are actually way better than his regular season numbers, which is kind of different. You don't usually see that, but I don't know. I liked the sustained production more than just like a cluster of hot runs. Maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe the Sharks will run away with the Pacific behind the pads of Martin Jones. I just don't see it. They've still got three games left with the Sharks this year?
Two or three. Okay, and they're both in San Jose,
right? They've split so far, but like I said, I feel like the Golden Knights arguably outplayed them Thursday in the loss and just destroyed them the first time. But that kind of segs us into what our second big talking point we think we're going to do every week, escaping the fortress. We're going to zone out from the Golden Knights and talk kind of about a bigger NHL topic. And I think the Sharks are a good place to start this week. Sharks and the Flames, the Pacific Division, it really looks like a three-team race with these three teams. You know, we were really, really close together. It looked like a lot of teams had a chance maybe a month ago, but those three have kind of separated. What do you make of this race? What stands out to you? And, you know, who are you looking for to ultimately come out on top?
Well, yeah, you're definitely right. I mean, looking at the standings on Wednesday morning as we record this, Calgary 64 points, San Jose 63, Vegas 60. Pretty clear that those are going to be your three playoff teams in whatever order, because the next closest Pacific team is Edmonton at 47 points. Anaheim also has 47. I'm not sure anybody's worried about the Oilers or the Ducks chasing those three. But, you know, everybody in the Pacific's playing well right now. Calgary 8-1-1 in their last 10. San Jose 9-1. Vegas 8-2. So it said they're really separating themselves. And as far as who's, you know, the better team out of the, you know, who's the bigger threat to Vegas repeating as Pacific champs? I don't know. I mean, that's the easy way of saying it. Calgary has been playing really well. Same thing with San Jose, though. You got to wonder about the goaltending. David Rittich has been playing really well. And like I had mentioned, you know, Martin Jones over the last five, David Rittich in the last eight, he only has two outings with less than three goals allowed. So he's, you know, kind of hitting the opposite. But Calgary's still winning. And I mean, Mike Smith isn't, you know, getting older. You know, his numbers aren't great. Three goals allowed this year with an .889 save percentage. So David Rittich is kind of becoming the guy. But as far as a sustained playoff run, I'm not sure that David Rittich is that guy that you want. But kind of the opposite of Martin Jones, who, like you had said, I looked up his playoff numbers. Career 207 goals against, .926 save percentage. So you're right. Yeah, definitely a good postseason goalie. But, I mean, we're going to see how this plays out. And I think it is a three-team race where all three of them could still win it and all three of them could still finish in third in the Pacific.
Yeah, and a lot of difference. You can correct me if I'm wrong. I haven't kept up as much as I should just looking at the scores and stuff of these teams, but they seem to kind of present different challenges. Like I said, I mean, both the goalies, neither are going to blow you away, but both are serviceable. But you look at the Sharks and, you know, everyone's going to say this, the kind of centerpiece of those teams are, of that team, excuse me, is Erik Karlsson and Brent Burns, such a great 1-2 punch of defensemen and offensive defensemen. I know it took Karlsson a while to kind of get going, but he's been exceptional lately. And you look at the Flames, they're kind of more likely to just blow you away with their forwards and their offensive potential, right? I mean, they're not a team that you're going to look at on the defensive end and be super scared of. Those are kind of two different problems they present for the Golden Knights, at least to me. Is there one the Golden Knights, you know, match up better with, or am I just totally wrong with that? What do you make of that?
No, I think you're right. I mean, they both score. I mean, kind of, you mentioned Brent Burns and Erik Karlsson kind of with the, I don't know if you meant it, but the implication being that their defense has kind of been what's carrying them. They've got 172 goals for this season, which is third in the NHL. Number two is Calgary. So there's a lot of scoring going on in the Pacific, but those Calgary forwards, Johnny Gaudreau's got 69 points, 27 goals. Sean Monahan, 25 goals. Matthew Tkachuk, 23. Elias Lindholm, 21. So, no, you're right. Those forwards up front for Calgary are just spectacular. And we saw it back in that first game in November. Calgary just was the far and away the better team when it came to playing the Golden Knights. I mean, they just skated circles around them. And San Jose, you know, they're like you said, they're different. I mean, they don't have one guy on their team. Excuse me. Joe Pavelski has 26 goals. So they have one 20-goal scorer on their team, but they have it spread out, and they have two of their top three scorers are defensemen, like you said, Burns and Carlson. So who presents a bigger challenge for the Golden Knights? Personally, I think that it's the Sharks. I think that Carlson and Burns are the centerpiece of a team that anybody would rather have. And, you know, everybody can have – every team in the league has forwards that can score. And that's not to take away from what Calgary is doing and has done. But to have the defensive – you know, have that offensive production on the blue line, it makes the job easier for their goalies if even their defensemen are keeping the puck in the offensive zone.
Whew, it's tough for me. I was actually hoping you would convince me the other way because, you know, I think it's still hard to wave off the Sharks. I mean, we came into the season thinking they were – I mean, they came in as the Pacific Division favorites. They just edged the Golden Knights, even in sports books where you know the Golden Knights are taking all the action here. So it's hard to shake that, and you look at the roster and the names in their history, and it's kind of – you know, you immediately go to the Sharks, but just using the eye test and what we've seen this year, I feel like the Golden Knights have struggled a little more with the Flames. Even in that home game they won, it was a close game. Like I said, the two Sharks games, I feel like they've won. It's just, it's hard for me to narrow down. Do I go with the Priors, which always kind of are undervalued at this point of the season, where you look at the Sharks and what they've done? I think there's a case to be made there, but I've been really blown away with the Flames, and now, I mean, they're 47 games into the season. That's a pretty big sample size saying that right there. So I agree with you. It's a really hard case to make. I still might lean the Sharks ever so slightly, but I really want to jump over to the Flames, and you failed at convincing me to do so.
Well, I was just going to say, just kind of, you know, you can look at all the numbers you want, and then when it comes down to it, if you're a Golden Knights fan, which team would you rather face in the playoffs? And I think it would probably be the Flames. I think you'd rather take your chances with Calgary as opposed to San Jose. I mean, do you agree with that? I mean, where do you stand on that? I just think San Jose matches up better with the Golden Knights. And I think that, you know, if the playoffs started today, we'd have Vegas and San Jose playing in the first round, which was our second round matchup last year. And it was the only one that lasted past five games for the Golden Knights. It was their only six-game series. They didn't play a seven-game series. I think they match up really well, and I think, I don't know, I think I'm looking forward to another Sharks-Knights playoff series.
Yeah, I'm rooting for that in the first round, too. If you looked at our predictions column in the beginning of the season, I said this series will happen, so that's what everyone wants to, but I think it's going to be in the first round. And it sounds like you agree with me that that could happen. Maybe I'm just overreacting. Even though that went six games, I feel like they won a lot of those games easily. I never felt like, I mean, maybe after game two, I guess after game two last year when they were going back to San Jose, you were a little worried. But ever after that, I never really felt like the Golden Knights were going to lose the series.
Well, I mean, they beat Winnipeg in five and Los Angeles in four, so it didn't really feel like they were ever going to lose.
I thought Winnipeg was a different – that was the one that stunned me last year. It was the Winnipeg I thought was on a different level than them. I thought beating Winnipeg. And, I mean, both these series, you could say this, but Fleury was just in another world.
Yeah, he was. And, I mean, a hot goaltender is going to carry you regardless of who you're playing. And, I mean, they ran into, you know, a monster in Washington, and that's, you know, that's fine. You got through the West, you won the West in your first year, that's spectacular. But I don't know. I mean, Calgary, if you want to look at last year, Calgary didn't even make the playoffs last year. So it's kind of hard to look at last year and, you know, predict what's going to happen this year.
Exactly. I'm just waffling because I don't want to make an answer. My gut right now says Calgary's been a little bit better, but I don't necessarily know that that means that you want to more have a playoff series with San Jose. We'll have to see. It is interesting. They've played twice, Calgary and San Jose. They've split. Calgary won one by three goals, and San Jose won one by two. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in their series as well, because that's going to have a lot of impact on how this division finishes out. Before we move on, I guess just we can quickly look at the bottom. You've got Edmonton, Vancouver, Anaheim, Arizona, and the Kings all kind of looking, I mean, they look several levels below the top three, but are there any of those that are somewhat interesting to you that could go on a run we don't expect, you know, compete for one of those wild card spots? What do you think about that kind of bottom tier group?
Yeah, I don't think any of them are catching the Flame Sharks or Knights in the Pacific, but that wild card spot is wide open. Dallas at 50 points, Minnesota at 49 as we record this are in the wild card spots, but Edmonton, Vancouver, Anaheim, 47, St. Louis, 45, Arizona, 43. So, I mean, it certainly could happen. I mean, Anaheim, I think, is probably the least likely of those. I mean, which is funny to say because they started off well and they were in a playoff hunt, but they're at a minus 30 goal differential. I mean, they don't have really anything except for a goalie. John Gibson has been carrying them. Edmonton, you know, mean, you never really want to trust the Oilers, but it's hard also to bet against Connor McDavid, and I know they missed the playoffs by so many points last year even with him, but if I were to pick one team that's kind of on the outside of a playoff spot looking in, I could see Edmonton doing it. They would be my pick if I had to take one team that's not in the playoffs right now to sneak their way in.
Yeah, hard to ever doubt Connor McDavid. What a frustrating...
Oh, man.
Well, I mean, if I'm an Oilers fan, I'm just, like, breaking my TV. Can you not... You have this just generational talent, and there's just nothing around. I mean, something's got to be done there.
You would think, right? I mean, I don't know what there is to... It's kind of like in, you know, baseball. The Angels have Mike Trout, and they're just not able to do anything with him, and... You know, the Oilers have Connor McDavid. These are, you know, superstar players, the best players in the sport, almost certainly Hall of Famers. And, well, they, you know, McDavid might be sitting at home watching the playoffs again by no fault of his own.
Yeah, good parallel to Mike Trout. Frustrating. The hearts go out to Oilers fans there, but not really. We'll move on, though. The week ahead, we're going to try to record once a week. Next will be next Thursday because that is after... the Golden Knights game against the Predators, which wraps up kind of a mini homestand here. Next three up, Pittsburgh, Minnesota, Nashville, three franchises that have been very consistent. I mean, over the last almost decade now, you know, always in the playoffs, and in Pittsburgh and Nashville's case, kind of perennially in the Stanley Cup conversation at this point. So this is a really tough stretch. What do you think about these three games? What stands out immediately to you?
I think this is going to be the start of a stretch that kind of proves what the Golden Knights are made of. I mean, they get the Penguins on Saturday, and everybody knows what the Penguins are going to bring. They're a good team. They, you know, they stumbled a little bit at the beginning of the year. They look to be kind of over that. You know, last 10, 7-3 now, plus 26 goal differential. They're in the second wild card spot right now, but I'm not sure how long that lasts. Minnesota, another playoff team. They're in the playoff hunt every year. I feel like they're a team that's going to get 100 points every year, and for whatever reason, can't manage to make any run in the playoffs, but that's neither here nor there. And then Nashville, like you said, I mean, the Western Conference regular season champions, I believe, is their banner in their arena says. But, you know, these are three really good teams. It's, you know, maybe the toughest homestand that they've had all year as far as talent coming in all at one time, and, you know, it's... You know, it's easy to just waffle and say if they win two out of these three that it's going to be a good homestand. But this is one that, you know, like I had just said, three really good teams all coming in at the same time. It's, you don't really get an off day when it comes to them because, you know, right after the Penguins, you got to prep for, you know, a physical Minnesota team. Right after that, it's Nashville who just laid waste to Washington last night. And then you get the All-Star break after that. So you get a little bit of a rest and it's going to be... You got to just make sure that you stay focused and you don't start looking forward to the break like they did last month. Coach Gallant said that he didn't like the way that they played the last two games before the Christmas break, before they got 3 days off. So you just got to keep focused and, you know, it's one of the toughest buildings to win in T-Mobile Arena if you're a visiting team. So we'll see how it goes.
For sure, and that's held true this year. I know you mentioned the home record earlier, but I do believe it ranks among the NHL's best for another year. They've been... great at home. In that Penguins game, just with the Flurry connection, everything else, always a big one, even though this is, I mean, what, the fourth time they've played now. I think it'll be a special environment for that one. Yep. Saturday night on the Strip, got the Pacquiao fight across the way. It should be you feel like that'll be the best atmosphere? Is that one of the can't-miss games so far this year?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, it's on a Saturday, which is always fun because, you know, the T-Mobile Arena sells out a Monday night against the whoever's coming to town. But on a Saturday night with Penguins coming to town, they've won two, you know, they won two Stanley Cups in a row. It's going to be a fun atmosphere, and I think Fleury will be hyped up for it. He didn't get the chance to play the Penguins earlier this year. Malcolm Subban took that game when they were in Pittsburgh, so I think that'll be a fun one for him.
Yeah, Pittsburgh... as you alluded to, always kind of, the last few years at least, hard to wrap your head around during the regular season. They kind of seem like one of these NBA teams in the sense that they do just enough to get through the regular season.
Absolutely.
They make the playoffs, but it seems like they turn it on a different level in the playoffs. They have just a ridiculous offense, though. They have all these guys that can score. And I think Nashville is another team, although they've been banged up, that you can kind of say that about. Is there kind of a test in here for the Vegas defense? Is there anything they need to, you think, prove over and not to shortchange Minnesota either, who I know played Vegas really tough last year. They went into a shootout in their first game this year, which Vegas won. But, you know, looking at defense specific, is this a big stretch for them, or have they answered all the questions we have?
No, I think that questions don't get answered until the definitively until the cup gets raised in June. So we'll see how it goes. It'll be interesting to see how they play some of those top lines, because when Colorado was here and they had that top line of McKinnon and Rantanen and Landeskog, it was Nate Schmidt and Braden McNabb every shift. Every time that they were on the ice at 5-on-5, it was, you know, Gallant threw those two over the boards, and it worked. I mean, they only scored one power play goal, and they were able to lock down what was at that time, and probably still is, the best line in hockey. And, it's the same thing. I think it'll be interesting to see when Crosby's on the ice, what defense. I mean, Gallant says he doesn't like to stack lines, and he just kind of likes to roll through them, but, I mean, it's just kind of human nature. When their best forwards are on the ice, you want to put your best defenseman on the ice, and I think that's going to be particularly true in the Pittsburgh game. Crosby, 55 points, Kessel, 51, and Evgeny Malkin, 50. They kind of have that offensive firepower that Nashville doesn't, as far as a points perspective. Their leading scorer, Philip Forsberg, has 18 goals. They have, you know, they kind of are the same way that the Golden Knights are. They pass it along. There's not one, you know, superstar forward that's going to be the go-to guy that you know that the puck's going to be going to them. So it's too different. And like you had said, Minnesota, same thing. You know, not to shortchange them, they're just kind of on a different level. I think when you tier off the teams, that Minnesota, good hockey team. But it's going to be very interesting to see how they game plan defensively for Pittsburgh and Nashville.
Yeah, you said Gallant, you know, went to that pairing of Schmidt and McNabb so often against that just hellacious Colorado line. Is there been a big gap in your mind? I mean, is Schmidt and McNabb just far and away been the most productive pairing? Or you know, since Schmidt's come back, I haven't been around as much. I'm kind of interested in, do you feel like the other guys have risen their game too, or is that just so far and away their number one pairing, kind of their go-to when they need to get a stop?
Well, I think it's clear that it's their top pairing, but, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily take away from the other pairs. Shea Theodore, he's good offensively. He's, again, still a young guy, still, you know, defensively. He's, you know, I don't want to say anything bad, obviously, but offense is his strong suit, but he's also paired with Derek England, where defense is his strong suit, so they play off each other really well. And then that third pairing is, right now, it's kind of, it's John Merrill and Nick Holden, who has been, surprisingly to some, one of, you know, they've been playing really well. And defensively against, in their last home game that they had played against San Jose, you know, they were the best defensive pair on the ice for the Golden Knights. So it's the same thing that they have with their forwards. They don't have an Erik Karlsson or a Brett Burns that, you know, they match up, you know, these superstar defensemen, but what they have is a lot of really good defensemen who can get the job done.
Yeah, I've heard a lot good about that Merrill Holden pairing lately, and that's been good to hear, that the good things about Merrill, because at the beginning of the season he was just super struggling and seemed to be kind of the whipping boy for all their problems. So in a really good guy, so it's good to see things coming around for him. And I mean, Holden kind of throughout his career has just been such like a steady, solid guy.
Yeah,
I think
he's gonna go out there. He's not gonna, you know, he's not gonna contend for a Norris ever, but he's gonna be, you know, bottom four defenseman, and it works. He knows his role. He plays it very well. And like you said, I think a lot of people like to bash on John Merrill, but he's elevated his game over the last, you know, 5-6 games. He's looked really good. And remember that these are the six that they have out there while Colin Miller is on the IR. So when he gets back, that's just another added dimension to their defense.
Exactly. And if those bottom ones, the bottom pairing keeps up just being kind of the steady way we just talked about, I think that will be big for the Golden Knights. So we kind of got off on a tangent, but before we move on, this three-game stretch, this homestand, what's your gut say? How do you think they come out? Pittsburgh, Minnesota, Nashville, which ones they win, lose? Any bold predictions? Anything you see about these three games?
Oof, putting me on the spot. Let's go with, I think that they're just going to be fired up for Pittsburgh. They have 3 days off between Winnipeg and the Winnipeg game and the Pittsburgh game, and the Penguins are in Arizona the night before, so they got to play the second night of a back-to-back. I think the Golden Knights take that one. Monday afternoon, an afternoon game. I guess Martin Luther King Day, that'll be why, huh? I think that they can beat Minnesota, and just because I don't want to predict a sweep, I think that Nashville will take it. So I think that they go 2-1-0 this week. What do you think?
I agree. I think the spot looks good against Pittsburgh. I think they beat Pittsburgh. I've got a win there. Minnesota is the one that's tripping me up. I'm going to say, still waffling on it, I'm going to say overtime. I'll go overtime loss. Why not? I'll be the negative one. And I picked Nashville to win the Stanley Cup at the beginning of the year. I bet Nashville to win the Stanley Cup. I still think very highly of them. I'm going to say that the Predators beat them in regulation. So I got a 1-1-1 stretch going here.
Yeah, just kind of covering the board there. Huh?
All right. So we know everyone loves predictions. That's why we'll try to do it for the games. Make sure you get Justin's before the game on our live blog for all three games, every home game. He'll have that. This was just kind of a spur of the moment one. And we're going to sign off every week with this last segment, Shining Knight, we like to call it. We're going to pick one guy on the Golden Knights roster that we are expecting to have a big week, upcoming three games. I thought about putting some point system on it where we get points for different things they do, but I think we're professional enough. We can agree. We can come to a consensus week to week on the winner. So we'll kind of discuss what our picks did for the week. And we'll keep score. We've got 12 weeks left, so there's 12 points on the board. We're coming in 0-0. I'll let you get the first pick as the expert. You can pick anyone on the Golden Knights roster. Oh, and I forgot the most important rule is you can only pick a guy once. So you can't pick Alex Tuck every week and
so
win.
So we can only pick a guy once, but if I take somebody this week, you can still take him
exactly.
another week, right?
Yeah, so you could have Tuck this week. I could have Tuck next week.
All right, well, I'm actually going to go off the board a little bit. I'm going to go... not somebody at the top of the standings, but or at the top of the leaderboard, but somebody who I've been really impressed with, both his play on and off the puck, and that is Tomáš Nosek. He has been, that Anaheim game, he had a goal and an assist. He had a goal against San Jose. He has been, he's got a couple of shots. I just think I've been really impressed with the way that he's been playing. His ice time has kind of been moving up. He had 16 minutes against the Rangers, 16 minutes against the Sharks. I think that he is kind of getting that look. He's getting a little bit of power play time now. I'm going to go off the board with the first pick. I'm going Tomáš Nosek.
I love it. Nosy, the first pick. That goes down in Vegas Golden Podcast Trivia, the first ever Shining Knight.
Yeah, I could have gone with the points leader, the guy who had 43 goals last year, or the guy that was the last man in for the All-Star vote. But no, I'm going with the third liner.
I'm
going
to go with probably should be off the board, but absolutely not off the board. I think this is maybe even a little bit of fan service. Assuming he hasn't been sent down in the time since he's done this, I'm going to go with Brandon Peary.
There it is.
Crazy?
No, I don't think. He scored last night. He was their only goal. It is first crazy. He's got 8 goals in 11 games.
Well, yeah, the guy scores 8 goals in 11 games. I don't think this is going to last, let me be clear, but he's hot right now, and I want to strike while I can. I mean, who knows?
He might use him now, right?
He's going to be down again, likely. I don't think he's going to keep scoring in 80% of the games or 75% of the games.
25 shots on goal in his last 3 games, though, so he's firing them at the minute.
Yeah, so I'm gonna go with Peary, and I'm sure a lot of people are cheering that one on. It seems like he's become beloved. Not that he shouldn't have for the way he's played, but this has got to be one of the more unlikely kind of storylines to come out of the season, right?
Yeah, I mean, the guy's 27 years old. He had one, he had a pretty good year a couple of years ago with Florida. He had 22 goals, but I mean, the guy's never had more than 24 points in a season. He has 13 points in 11 games. So if you would have told me at the beginning of the year that Brandon Peary was going to be doing this, well, after seeing last year, I'd be lying if I said anything really surprises me around them anymore.
Yeah, and I mean, he's been on 4 different teams up and down. So like I said, I just don't expect this to up and down this year. I don't expect it to continue, so I'm hoping that I have not just... I hope I haven't gotten on it at the end. I hope he can carry this a couple more games, but we'll have to talk about that next week. So keep your eyes peeled.
Nosek versus Peary.
Yeah.
The next 3 games. That's the big one that everybody's going to be watching.
Absolutely, and I should have said this at the top of the show, but hit us up on Twitter, especially Justin, I'm at Case Kiefer. I think you're at
J15 Emerson.
Didn't want to get it wrong. If there's anything you want us to talk about, any questions, shoot it to us, and we will certainly talk about it on the podcast. I think this should be fun going forward. This was episode 1. Any parting thoughts from you, Justin?
No, I think it's gonna be a fun show. You get to talk Golden Knights every week, like Case had said. Any thoughts that you have, if you're reading it on the if you're reading it on the site, send us an email, hit us up on Twitter, and we will be happy to talk about it.
Nosek versus Peary.
It'll be a heavyweight duel.
That's the matchup to watch for the next 3 games. For Justin, I'm Case. Thanks a lot for listening to the very first edition, the expansion podcast of Vegas Golden Podcast.